Of all the different books, chapters, and psalms, this is one of my favorite. I know some people say, well, my favorite is Psalms 23, and I do really like Psalms 23. Some people like Psalms 119, and I do really like Psalms 119. I really enjoy Psalms 37. If I had a favorite, that would be that favorite psalm is there, Psalms 37. But probably one of my top five ones is Psalms 100, just because it talks as a song of praise, a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, and I think it's something that just tells us where we need to be at. So we're going to go ahead and read through this. And the thought of this morning's Sunday school lesson is striving in thanksgiving. So we've been talking about striving together as a church in certain things, ministry, relationships, family, revival. And where there's a few more lessons that we're probably going to bring up through Christmas when it comes to the striving together of things. But the striving together of thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving being this week, is something that God kind of laid upon my heart about us being a group of people that are thankful. And it's as a church, we should be a thankful and a grateful church. Well, we should be somebody who wants to praise the Lord. We should be somebody who wants to show our thanks and show our praise and demonstrate our praise. And we have to do that on purpose. Our body and our flesh does that. That does not come naturally. Something that should, you would think it would be, but it's not. Theme verse of the series is only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So if we're going to be striving together as a church for the faith of the gospel, we need to have one spirit and one mind. And that needs to be one of thankfulness, thanksgiving. Man, what a great thought there. Sometimes I see some of the most, in daytime that we live in, is some of the most ungrateful people that ever around. It's amazing how traditions have changed and things. And once again, my wife and I have had this discussion before. Of course, I think I'm always right, and she thinks that I'm always right too. Oh no, that's not how it works, is it? But we talked a little bit about what is a proper thank you acknowledgement. You know, if saying thank you is enough. She was brought up in a home that if you didn't send a thank you card to the individual, they wouldn't be able to accept a present next time. They had to send a thank you card. I don't know if they got punished for it or not, but that was ingrained into her mind. And I tell her, I say thank you to people, and I like to respond today with text messages. And I tell people thank you through texting. Now, that's not as personal as handwriting your notes, but that's sometimes how I do it. Sometimes it's with a handwritten note. But different people, different ages, different times. Texting is something that people do. Emails are something some people do. Just saying thank you. And depending on what's going on, you're not going to write a thank you note for somebody holding the door open. But obviously, it's nice to say thank you when someone holds the door open. But you don't hear it that much anymore. And something is changing. It's something that's even further along. Good kids, good families, and good churches that just don't know how to say thank you all the time like they maybe should and demonstrate as they should. It's this entitlement age that people have, and it's coming into our churches and things like that. Do we have to say thank you? I don't think you should give something in order to look for a thanks. My wife is old school. If they don't want to say thank you, then we don't need to give them anything next year. I was like, you laugh, but that's the thinking that's there. And I said, you know what? I don't give it to them just so that way they can give me a thank you. And she says, I don't either, but it just would be nice if somebody taught them or showed them that. And I says, you know what? We take each other for granted sometimes. We don't always say thank you for the things that we really should. And once again, it's not every day every single time something happens, but it's a heart. It's a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of gratefulness. If we have a thankful heart and a thankful spirit, then you know what? It's going to show in our church. And it's going to be something that there's not going to be a lot of arguing and fighting and fussing and complaining and worrying. Instead, it's by faith we believe that God and that God believe in God and believe that God is good. And because we believe God is good, we don't have to worry, argue, fuss, and we know that God's in control. So I'd like to think about all these different things we're talking about striving together in. Let's strive together in having a spirit of thankfulness. Not just talking about inside the church house, because it doesn't work that way. It's either you're going to have a thankful spirit for the right things all the time, or you're going to have a thankful spirit none of the time when it comes to many of the things. So let's, in our lives, let's try to remember how to be thankful. And Psalms 100 is great. We're going to maybe try something a little bit different this morning, in Sunday school class. And it's with like a teen activity. You have a teen activity, sometimes they're a big hit and sometimes they flop. If it's a big hit, you do it again. If it's a big flop, you don't do it again. So today, if we have time at the end of the lesson's a little bit smaller because we're going to give you a chance to do what the lesson talks about, and that's praise the Lord about some about how good he is. And so if you want to be thinking about something that you want to thank the Lord for about him, and there's something you're going to get a chance to do that on Tuesday night, but not everybody gets to come on Tuesday night, and it's just a little bit different. This is going to be solely about what we're thankful for about God. So let's look here. Let's jump in here. Psalms 100. And like I said, this is one of my favorites. We could talk for a few hours about it, but we're not going to, but we're going to go through it fairly quickly. And then we're going to look at this lesson. We can give thanks because God is good. Because God is good. On Tuesday at the senior luncheon, Mr. Gregor talked about God being good. And I was thinking, man, I hope he doesn't take my lesson. But, you know, God is good on Tuesday, and God's good today, and God's going to be good in the morning service. We're going to talk a little bit about it there, too. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. One of the reasons why this is one of my favorite verses, favorite chapters in the Bible, because it says make a joyful noise. Doesn't mean it has to sound good. It's just got to be joyful. So when I sing, it's definitely a noise, and it's usually joyful. So it might not be good. It doesn't say it has to be harmonious. It just says it's got to be joyful, and that's what I do. And it says, all ye lands, includes everyone. Next one is, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, if we're going to have a spirit of thanksgiving and a heart of thanksgiving, we're going to serve the Lord because we're supposed to serve the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, you're not supposed to serve God, and you're supposed to be saved, and you're supposed to sit and not do anything. Instead, we're supposed to strive together and work together, which means different things for different age groups and different levels of ability and different levels, but we're supposed to serve the Lord. But when we serve the Lord, we need to be doing it with gladness. Now, sometimes I see some people that can actually clean a toilet with a song on their heart, and then I see other people that would be doing something that's joyous that you would consider fun, and they do it as a grumpy person. It's amazing sometimes the different spirits people have. You know, something that's interesting and enjoyable, something that maybe people would sign up to do, and they kind of do it without a glad heart. But it's all about how we look at things. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we're supposed to come before God with singing. Now, we're always in the presence of God, but as we enter into the presence of God, singing is a good thing. Remember, as we looked at that hour, that spending an hour in prayer daily, we looked at that, we went through that series. One of those things is finding a good hymn and singing to the Lord, or at least maybe reading the words as a way of praise to God. Now, here in verse number 3 is one of the ways. Now, the first way you're supposed to approach God is by singing. Second thing, as I see, as you approach God, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Man, I like that. If we realize who God is, and we realize who we are, we didn't make ourselves. There's somebody we are accountable in this world to. Someday, somebody we will stand before. Man, what a wonderful thought there. If we just live our lives understanding, hey, I didn't make myself. I don't know how to take care of myself. I don't know exactly what I should do every day. Why don't I turn to the one who did make me and look to him for guidance? And then it says, we are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so it's awesome. You know, if we get to this mentality, I'm going to enter into his presence with singing. I'm going to understand that he is God. That's one of the most important things as we enter into our prayer time and our praise time. It's not a grocery list. You know, sometimes when you go up to people and you say, hey, can you do this for me? You do this for me. You do this for me. You do this for me. Sometimes with the ladies that work for me upstairs, sometimes I give them a list of things. Hey, can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? Just because that's something that they're supposed to do and they want to be a blessing to me. And so as we look at this, we can't approach God that way. I mean, think about it. You know, do we go around telling people that we look up to, hey, can you do this for me and this for me and this for me without even considering who we're talking to? We don't. We have a greater respect. Now, we might do that to our kids. Just because they need instruction, they need to hear it over and over. You might do it with somebody who works for you. You might do it for somebody that you're working alongside. But that's not the way you should approach God. He's God. That's what he's saying here. Have the right perspective. Have the right mentality here. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. You're not God. Your mate's not God. I know some of you ladies might be thinking, my husband thinks he's God. I know some of you men might be thinking, my wife acts like she's God. But they're not God. He is God. And we did not make ourselves. He's the one that made us. And that we are his people. But then the next one is the sheep. And we went through Psalms 23 here in the last year, and we looked at that. And, you know, sheep aren't the smartest animals. Sheep need the help of the shepherd. And then it continues on, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So you have thanksgiving that's done, you have singing that is done, and into his courts with praise. So these are three ways that enter. You enter into his presence with singing, then you have thanksgiving, and then you have praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And that's just, if you get that and understand, hey, God is good. I can be thankful no matter what's happening in my life, because even though the other things might not be good that's happening, God's still good. This morning, we're going to look about how his mercy is endure forever. And it talks about over and over in the Bible, there's a connection with the word thank or thankful or thankfulness and the word about his mercy. And that's the reason why we can always be thankful, because his mercy endure forever. And it continues on here, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the people that are in this room. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us learn how to have a grateful heart and a grateful spirit, Lord, to enter into your courts with thanksgiving, to enter into your presence with singing, Lord, to just praise you because you are good. Lord, help us as we get start off this week that it's filled with so many different activities, that we remember that you are good and that you deserve to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's a couple of things here. Like I said, the lesson this morning might be shorter, so you get a chance to have that give a testimony for a second. And we went through this already pretty much. First thing is granted versus gratitude. Granted versus gratitude. Now, I keep it red and white. Can you guys read what the red says? Yes, no, does it look? Not really. So we can keep it all in white. So future weeks, we keep it all white. I'm just trying to show you emphasis. It says we can take things for granted, or we can take things with gratitude, but we can't take them both ways. You can take things for granted, or you can take things with gratitude, but you can't take them both ways. You can't assume upon somebody and also be grateful for them at the same time. So it's important to understand that. Daily, God heaps blessings upon us. He bears our burdens. Gratitude is the pathway into God's blessings as we acknowledge his favor. Psalms 103, it directs us to bless the Lord and forget not his many benefits. Gratitude is simply rehearsing all the advantages, favors, kindness, and mercies of God that he's bestowed upon us. We must not get so busy adding up our troubles that we forget not to count our blessings. Thanking God will move us from a mentality of defeat into a stance of faith. If you keep your eyes focused on God, you consider Christ in every situation, you know what's going to happen. No longer you're going to feel defeated, no longer you feel sorry for yourself, but instead you're going to ready enter today by faith. The psalmist says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So when we consider this, we can either take the fact that God is good for granted, or we can have it with gratitude. We can be thankful that he's good all the time. And, you know, we can't assume upon it. You know, we got to feel, no. If we praise him, we're going to do it with gratitude. We're going to do it with praise. We're not going to just take it for granted that God is good and say, okay, because God is good and God's always going to be good, I never need to say thank you. I'm going to just keep on going my day. You know, why do I need to praise the Lord? Why do I need to sing? Why do I need to enter into his presence with singing? Why do I need to go with thanksgiving? Why do I need to go with praise? It's because of the fact he is good. And so many times we take that for granted. Okay, God is good. I don't have to pray today because I'm too busy, and God's still going to be good no matter what. Then you're taking him for granted. You're taking him for granted. It's sort of like when your wife at home does something nice for you, gentlemen, and you don't say thank you or how much you appreciate something. Well, that's something she's supposed to do. Yeah, but don't take it for granted. There's a lot of wives that don't do that. And same thing with the husbands, too. You know, wives, your husbands. Yeah, he's supposed to fix that. Yeah, but there's a lot of guys that don't fix things. And, you know, so don't take things for granted. But specifically, don't take God's goodness for granted. Yes, we can always know he's going to be good no matter what. But we should be thankful for that. And we demonstrate that. It says here, make a joyful noise. It says here, enter into his presence with singing. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And it says, come to his courts with praise. And it says, verse number 5, the reason why. For the Lord is good. That's the reason why we should do it. Next thing I want you to think about is, what about when I don't feel thankful? You ever not felt thankful before? It happens. It just really does. Think about it. Those times that we're overwhelmed, exhausted, depleted, perplexed, and baffled, in heart, we do not really feel grateful. But thanking God should be a deliberate, willful act in times when our emotions are lacking. We should always be thankful. This paragraph I didn't write, and I want you to think about what it says. We should not fall for the notion that we should not say thank you unless we feel thankful. Our emotions are ever-changing and unreliable. We should pay no attention to our feelings. Spiritual maturity does what is right because it is right. Eventually, our emotions will catch up with our verbalized thanksgiving. Gratitude is habit-forming. You say, what are you talking about? Even when you don't feel thankful. Doesn't mean God's not good anymore, does it? He's still good. We should still be thankful. We should still be grateful. And sometimes I don't feel like keeping the speed limit. Anybody ever do that? I don't feel. Sometimes on certain roads, I think I know better than the government, and there is no reason why Forest Park Road is 35 miles an hour. That's a road I take back and forth every time, every day. That should be at least 45 miles an hour. I don't care if there's neighborhoods or not. It just helps my ride go faster. 60, there you go. No, we want to be safe. But at the same time, does the fact that I don't feel like keeping the speed limit change anything? No, there's still a speed limit. I could still be penalized for going over the speed, and I still do my best to try to stay where that. Andrew has become a stickler for us because we gave him a hard time about his driving, and so he let him drive some, and now he's going 35 on that road. It drives me crazy. I think I could get out and run faster than that. This is just that patch. But, you know, I guess because I don't feel like it doesn't change it. You know, just because of the fact that we might not feel like it, because we might be depleted, perplexed, and baffled or exhausted, he's still God, and he is still good. So we should thank God, and God is good. We should thank God not only when things are good, but choose to thank him just because he is good. And you think about it here. It's even when our circumstances are bad, especially when our circumstances are bad, it's when it helps us. Most anybody can thank God when he gives us things. You know, it's easy to get, you know, somebody gives you a Christmas present, you say thank you, right? Well, hopefully you say that. That's one of the things that drives my wife crazy. If we have a niece or a nephew you never hear a thank you from, and she's like, that's the people she's talking about. Well, I don't want to give it any more to. And they've gotten older over the years and things like that. It's just, I don't give them presents just because I want them to give me a thanks. I give them thanks because I appreciate it. But Job blessed the Lord in the worst of times and refused to think the worst about God. Job chose to bless the Lord in his misery. And you know what? So can we. Thanking God with no emotional backup is not hypocrisy. It demonstrates that we trust that the fact that God is good. Look at these verses. Then Job arose and went his battle. Most of you know the story of Job. He has just lost all his children. He's just lost his fortune. And, you know, all in the same day, all in a short period of time, Job arose and went his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And I like that. He worshiped God when the hardest times. And then he keeps on going. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He blessed the Lord, even though what he was going through. Most of us would say, man, I'd be doing good just to handle it and not curse God. Now, even during this time, Job knew God was good. And you say, Pastor, it's easy for you. You haven't been through what I went through. I haven't. And, respectively, all those different things. We talked about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ a few weeks ago. And talked about enduring as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And many of you have been through a lot more than me. Maybe because you're a little bit older. Maybe because God has spared me from things. Of course, I've been through bumps and through the rails. And my life hasn't been the easiest. But, you know, probably many of you guys have been through a lot more than I have. But no matter whatever you've gone through, God has always and will always be good. That's why we should never begin our prayer time with a grocery list of requests. We should always consider our present possession. We're forgiven, we're justified, we're adopted, we're accepted. In light of our former condition, when we were lost and estranged from God and doomed, we enter into his praise courts with thanksgiving and with gratitude. We should not only thank God for so many different things, but we can thank God for it. I was reading this past week, and you know, one guy wrote this. He says, you thank God for the sins he has forgiven you from. You know, because you ask God for forgiveness, if you confess him, he forgives you. But he says, consider if you were not a Christian, how you may have turned out. What you might be doing now. And I began thinking about, I like that song, The Preaching of the Cross. I don't know where I would be without the preaching of the cross, the change that God made in my life. But I know who my friends were back then. I know how they turned out, and I probably would have been right with the group acting that way. And he says, not only can you praise the Lord for the sins that he has forgiven you from, but think about the sins he's kept you from. Think about the things that where you would be and what you would be doing and how you would be acting and what you used to be like and how God's changed all that. And hey, God made it. He probably saved me from maybe being in jail, or he saved me from a divorce, or he saved me from not taking my kids seriously. You know, he kept me from those sins. If you just consider it, there are so many things that we can say, man, God is good and he always has been good. Not everything is good. But God is always good. So not everything is good, but God is good. And you think about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And you're like, man, that verse is crazy. How are you supposed to do that? That must have been a misprint. King James must have messed that one up. Well, I don't think that happened. You know how I feel about that. But Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. So he says it again. And the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why can we always give thanks? Simply put, it's because God is good. We should not only thank God for the good times, but we should just plainly thank God because he is good. Not everything is good, but God is good all the time. So I thank God for problems, difficulties, convictions over sins, and even temptations. And as I thank God that way, I begin to view these adversities as opportunities to trust the Lord. When we begin to thank God for these things, we say, okay, God, you've given me this controversy in my life. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to show I trust in you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn the things I need to learn. And we thank God because he's good. So, we're going to, for a few minutes, give you a chance to just give a little bit of a testimony. Mr. Cartwright has a microphone in the back. And the reason why he has a microphone in the back is because not everybody can hear in here. He said, well, there's no speakers. There is not. But some people use the hearing assistant thing. So the microphone, would that work, Mr. Cartwright? If we work through the microphone, he's talking to the microphone, the people that have the assisted hearing will be able to hear too. So who would like to be the first one to say something they're thankful for about the Lord and God? And I know it won't be hard because of the fact that we just talked about how good he was, but just something, spend a minute just saying, I'm thankful for God's goodness, grace, mercy. Mr. Don's going to start us off. And I can walk around it so that way you can sit if you want, Mr. Cartwright. You got to speak up though, Mr. Don. Is it on?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I'm thankful, obviously, for my salvation, but you made an extremely good point. I'm thankful for the things the Lord kept me from being even worse than I could imagine. And so his grace and mercy, and I'm just so thankful. I've had a lot of health concerns, it seems like, over the last couple of years, and he's seen me through all that. So God is really, really good.
Amen. Anybody else? Mr. Humbert?
Sure.
Once again, speak up a little bit.
I'm so thankful for my salvation, as Don mentioned. I'm thankful for my wife and family. I'm thankful that I can be content in whatever state I'm in. You know, there's a lot of things comes at you, but you can give thanks through it all because we know it all works for good.
Amen.
In ours, when we're in his will.
I'm continually thankful for his patience and his blessings on me. In spite of the things that I've done or have not done, my shortcomings, but he is good. Even when things are kind of crazy, he's there blessing us. And we need to know that we can't take his blessings for granted. And I just thank him for his strength and wisdom in going through different things.
Anybody else? Good. Give it to Miss Shirley behind you.
I thank God for his grace and the
Amen. Anybody else? Going once? He's still writing, so Mr. Barry is going to do one here in a second. Anybody want to go before Mr. Barry? Mrs. Barry.
I have, first of all, we are really glad to be here. Y'all are comedians, and all these comedians are out of work, but anyway, that's not what I was going to say. Thank you very much. I say this to the Lord for his provision and how he has blessed us. And the verse he just read, I'm content no matter what state I'm in. Well, I'm trying to be content no matter what city I'm in, whether it be Hickory or Elizabeth City. But you all have been very, brought a lot of blessing to our heart, and especially last night. Our gang of people that came in for the scavenger hunt was a blessing, even though in the midst of all the confusion there that's still at our house. But thank you, Pastor, for bringing the young people and our first Christmas caroling we've had in many, many years of people come to our house. That was just part of the scavenger hunt. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else?
How much time you got?
How much time? You got time. You got time.
I'm going to go back to Vietnam. I was on guard duty one night in Chu Lai off the South China Sea in the sand dunes, just like the Outer Banks. And they were guarding the ammo dump from the 10th Artillery. Three guys come walking up the beach, and I hollered, "Halt, halt." Then I hollered, "Dung Lai, Dung Lai." I stopped the Vietnamese. And I had an M14 and put a round in it. And I lit them up, you know, shot a flare. It was three guys that had been to a bar, and they were drunk. One had an M16. One had an M79 grenade launcher. It could have been friendly fire either way. I thank the Lord that me lighting them up, and I seen who they were, and they seen me, and we resolved the situation. And we heard, "Guard post number five, guard post number five." And here comes the sergeant up in the Jeep, and he defused the situation. So that could have been a tragedy on both sides.
Amen. Anybody else like to share something? Mr. Barry?
And kind of second my wife's Thanksgiving of being here, several things that came together for us to make that decision, and we're glad for that. We're thankful for the help to help us load our last big load in Hickory. We're thankful for those who came and helped us unload that load when it arrived here. We're still sorting stuff out. Even yesterday, my wife pulled up some letters that are over 100 years old that her great-grandparents or grandparents or somebody had written. And we look forward to someday sitting down and reading these things. Also thankful for meeting a missionary representative at a restaurant several weeks ago back in Hickory. We're just sitting there and a pastor comes by that we knew, and he said, "Well, I just ate with a guy who was in St. Vincent." He came about a week or two after we left in August, and he came by, and immediately I got into something with him. And then this week, on Tuesday, we met Mr. Rampersad, who my wife saw last time was in 1983, and I saw him about 15 years ago. He was not in good health, and I thought he was deceased. And in fact, when they showed us the pictures of him, my wife and I both said, "That's got to be his son. He's lost weight, and he lost enough weight. He looked different." But when he met us on Tuesday, it was him. And he is in the middle of what the mission rep is in the middle of. And then yesterday I talked to a man in St. Vincent, and been kind of interesting how some things have developed down there. And I'm thankful that God had made these connections for us to meet. And then we look forward to serving the Lord here. We are more and more at ease, and more saying, what can we do to serve the Lord in this church that's new to us in a certain sense on a long-term basis, but we don't regret it. I think the Lord has led us in a good decision to come.
Amen. Anybody else like to share something? Okay, going once, going twice. But no matter what you hear and everything you go through, we can always remember that God is good. And I guess on Tuesday night, you're going to get a chance to do a little bit of that again. But remember, the focus is God. I appreciate what Mrs. Berry says. I'm going to say it's thankful that God provided the provision. It all originates with God. I was watching a little, you know, they have those little video clips, and then somebody was out there, and they were writing thank you notes, and there's sermon illustrations that are little short videos, like we showed on Veterans Day, and they were sitting there, and they were writing a letter, thank you, and they were talking about all these little things that were happening in their lives, but at the end of the video, you see they were writing it to God. They weren't writing it to individuals, because God was the one that enabled individuals to help them, and God gave them the thought or the process. Yes, we are appreciative of those that God uses, of course, but remember, it always starts with God. So I thought, man, it'd be kind of neat to write out a thank you letter to God, but it might take longer than just a note if you begin thinking about it, but it helps you remember all the different blessings you have. So I encourage you this week, maybe you're not going to write it down on pen and paper, but I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to sit down and write, dear God, thank you. And obviously, it starts with their salvation. But that list could get pretty long by Thursday. And as you're thinking about those things, you know what you're not thinking about? The things you're worrying about, the things you're complaining about, and the things that are bothering you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help for morning service.